Bloomberg Surveillance with Ken Pruitt and Tom Keene. Listen on demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Now available free for both iPhone and Android devices.
And our next guest, Joachim Fels of Morgan Stanley, also has a real case of the yeah, but on Europe. His title of his new essay, Hope and Fear. Joachim Fels, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Tom.
I just love how you put it, not resolved. The crisis in Europe is still there. Why are we so complacent if you and Charles Weiplatz say there's still a lot to worry about?
Well, I think we've seen several of these cycles of crisis and complacency playing out in Europe over the past couple of years. I think the sad reality is that Europe only progresses through crisis, right? That's a famous saying by Jacques Delors, former EU Commission president. And I think what we've seen over the past few years is we've moved through a series of what we call CRIC cycles. CRIC, C-R-I-C, is an acronym that stands for the sequence of crisis, response, improvement, complacency. So we had a crisis in the summer. The ECB responded with the OMT. Governments responded with a plan for banking union. Then we had the improvement in markets, and now we're in the complacency phase. And I worry that you always need a renewed crisis to push both governments and the ECB to take the next step.
Will that new crisis be a diminished real economy? Is it just about the recession, or as some would say, depression in Europe?
I think it's both. It's about ongoing depression in the periphery. It's about the recession in the core countries, Germany and France, that has only started. But I think it also requires market pressure. So either coming from the equity market or coming from a renewed widening of bond yield spreads, or both.
Mm-hmm. Joachim Fels, folks, with a G10 economic forecast. Last year, 1.2%. This year, 0.7%. That's an ugly number. Let me bring in Michael Holland, helping out today with Joachim Fels. Michael?
Joachim, your point about the politicians and regulators working from a crisis, when we have the ECB do a new thing and say we will do whatever it takes to keep us from getting to a crisis, how does that complicate the normal sequence you just described?
Yeah, in a way, it takes away the threat of a major crisis. So in that sense, I think the ECB even did us a disservice by announcing the OMT. The reason is that, of course, it was necessary because there was a real risk of a breakup of the euro. But what it has done is it has taken pressure off governments to do more. And also, I think market participants do not want to short those peripheral bonds because they know at some stage, if these bond yields go up too much, the ECB will come in, governments will apply for a program, and then these spreads come in again. So in that sense, I think we're now in a very uncomfortable situation where the market doesn't dare to sell off. And at the same time, you need that sell-off to make further progress and to put up the pressure on governments again.
Yeah, come on, I want to come back and talk about Asia, and particularly my fascination with Japan, and of course with you, with Robert Feldman on the watch over there, have a terrific perspective. But to close out here, how do you synthesize the size of the punch bowl? Is it Atlantic Ocean sized? I mean, between Bank of England, ECB, the Fed, forget about the Bank of Japan. I've never seen a punch bowl like this, have I?
No, that's right. It's a huge punch bowl, but at the same time, we have huge headwinds. We still have the headwinds from deleveraging. We have the cloud of policy uncertainty that hangs over Washington, that hangs over Brussels, Berlin, Paris, until recently over Tokyo. We're now getting some more clarity on the policy outlook in Japan. I think that's good. We get more fiscal stimulus. The BOJ will do more. So what I'm saying is, central banks have been forced to do that much and have been forced to increase the size of the punch bowl, as you call it, because governments have not done their job.
Joachim Fels with us from Morgan Stanley. Joachim, you have the immense privilege of being briefed daily by Robert Feldman from Tokyo and Morgan Stanley, without question, our dominant analyst of the Japanese political economics. What says Robbie Feldman about the festivities in Japan?
Well, I think Robbie's view is that we're really seeing a sea change in policy at the moment, right? So the government introduced the supplementary budget today, so we're getting more fiscal easing. The government has put pressure on the BOJ to ease policy further, and we think the BOJ will heed these calls, so we will get a sea change in monetary policy. So I think for the first time in many, many years, we have a real chance that this vicious deflation cycle in Japan can be broken. The currency has already reacted. We just revised our currency forecast further yesterday. We think the yen will weaken significantly further over and above what it has already done.
What's your target there, please?
Well, we now think we can go up to 100 or maybe even higher. All of that, I think, will change the velocity of money in Japan. It will change deflation expectations to inflation expectations, and that should get people spending the money, and that should get that economy going again.
Let me bring in Michael Holland, please. Michael?
Yeah, using that and then going back to Tom's question from the earlier segment, Yakima, it would seem that with Japan doing what you just described, with China visibly changing from several quarters ago to an easier position monetarily, with the ECB doing whatever it takes, as you say, and with our Fed doing what it's doing, have we ever had a situation in the markets or in the world economy where all of these central banks are vying for the easiest position?
At least I don't recall a situation where we've had that before. I've been doing this job for about 25 years now, so for me it's a first. It's unprecedented. But you have to face, we're also in unprecedented times. We've had one of the biggest credit bubbles of all times bursting, and we're still suffering from the aftermath of that. So, yeah, we're really in a unique situation, I think. And maybe I should add, I think, you know, we are now in an environment where we see type 2 stagflation playing out. That's one of my themes. Type 2 stagflation is a description of a situation where you have relative economic stagnation, right? Growth is weak globally. And at the same time, we're seeing this new type of inflation, namely asset price inflation. That's why it's type 2 stagflation, not the old type 1 stagflation where we had economic stagnation and consumer price inflation. And how do you bring those two things together, a relatively weak economy and rising asset prices? Well, it's central banks. It's exactly what we've been talking about for the last few minutes.
Well, I wanted you to help me with the question Tom's going to ask me later in the program, and that is how to invest for the next several years. Given what you just described, is the equity market around the world, the global equity market with the major companies trading where they are now, is this a place to hide during what you just described?
Well, I'm not an equity specialist, but if I look at the environment, right, that we live in an age of financial repression where central banks are engineering negative real interest rates. They are buying bonds and keep bond yields low. We had a huge rally in credit last year. It becomes very difficult to see a further big rally, similar rally in credit. It's mathematically impossible. So what does it mean? I think it means that more and more investors will start to shift into equities, and we may be beginning to see that big asset allocation shift now.
Well, you see that with the Nikkei up 28% and yen last year up 10.4% U.S. dollar base. Joachim Fels, thank you so much for your perspective. He is the chief economist of Morgan Stanley. His Sunday evening note has become just must-read across all of the economic and investment world.
Listen to Bloomberg Surveillance weekday mornings at 7 Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York, or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2013, Bloomberg LP.